next readout for which I still have to assign a number. I'm going to give this one a bit of a complicated title. Twitter, Mastodon, Locuses of Control, and the Nature of Mankind. There have been a lot of blind people that have moved from Twitter to Mastodon in recent months because of the demise, or at least temporary demise, of a lot of the preferred third-party Twitter clients. There have also been some people moving to other platforms, including Mastodon, from Twitter, based on what I'm calling, loosely, content changes. What that really refers to is changes in policy as to what can stand, meaning be posted and stay up, not be deleted, retracted, forced retracted, cause account suspensions, etc. I don't actually know who knows what about this, because one of the problems of a narrative formed by controlled speech and controlled venues is that people don't really know the opposing view. If they think they do, they still probably don't, because they can't see enough to know. I'll just make an aside that if and when the time comes, I am one of the people who will defend the notion of ignorance does excuse some actions, because you can only be responsible for acting based on what information you have at the time you make a choice. You are responsible to some extent for looking for information, but if it's being kept from you, that becomes kind of a question as to whether you could succeed under reasonable circumstances or expectations. But that's an aside. So, Twitter versus Mastodon. Twitter is obviously a kind of centrally controlled structure. There's the corporation, and it has its regulations on what it can, what you can and can't do. Some of those are API limits, and some of those are content limits, content requirements. And some of that's implemented by what we presume to be AI algorithms, such as things that delete tweets or flag your account for various disciplinary actions based on words, phrases, references, etc. But it's all federally managed, as it were. And I'm using the word federally kind of on purpose, because I'm using it as a comparison. My understanding of Mastodon, and granted, I haven't used it, but I've done a fair amount of reading on it, so I'm open to correction on this, but I believe this is pretty accurate. Mastodon is kind of a confederation of what have sometimes been referred to as islands, but I've also compared to states. You have somebody running a Mastodon instance, and people can sign up to that instance and post and receive posts through that instance. And that instance can connect to other instances. And in the world of online social networking, sometimes that's referred to as federating. And so you can see posts from other islands or states in your state or island based on what those owners of those state islands decide can be done. And there's the sort of rub. The owners of the different instances, islands, states, whatever you want to call them, are the governors of what can be done. And they can have their own rules, and they can act kind of independently in or out of sync with those posted rules or expected rules. What that means is, by comparison, Twitter has a small number of people controlling things, and Mastodon has a large one. Now, on the surface, that looks like a wonderful gain for Mastodon, because what? The United States is based on the notion that the masses should have a fair amount of power. We have a big structure of checks and balances in the United States trying to prevent people from having too much power. However, there is one difference that I think gets overlooked, and this is actually why I'm making a readout, because I didn't notice it myself until about 15 minutes before now. I believe that it is harder to create a state in the Union than it is to create an instance in Mastodon, by so much of a degree that a large percentage of people can create their own little islands in Mastodon and start running things from that standpoint. The effect, I think, is a little hard to understand, but if you imagine United States having 50 states or 52, whatever you want to define it as. I don't know how many instances there are in Mastodon, but I'm pretty sure there's hundreds, if not thousands, of them. you have a lot more people controlling things and in their own way. And what you end up with is kind of an interesting system of voting where the popular vote governs more what happens, because the popular vote is much closer to the actual people running the structure. Again, still seems positive. But we get to a question at that point of what determines popular. What determines popular in an ideal circumstance is a mixture of accurate information and critical thinking. That's not very commonly the way it works, but that would be the ideal structure that would determine what's popular. Everybody gets good information, everybody thinks for themselves, everybody comes up to a conclusion, and the result is very wise and fully informed voting or acting. But in practice, in the world today, and this is enough of a subject to have a whole nother readout, we have a bit of a problem with both accuracy of information and critical thinking. Accuracy of information assumes that everything we see, to a reasonable degree at least, is true. And when it isn't, we can, critically thinking, decide when it's not based on what we do know. The problem with that, of course, is we have things like social media where there are forces that can adjust what is transmitted to us. We have some who would say that's also true of the mass media, the older structure of information dissemination. We've had some government attempts to govern what information comes out, in the United States at least, within the last couple of years. For better or worse, whether that was wise or not, it does come down to government of information. And so you have to ask, is this information we're getting accurate? Now, if you assume that the information is not accurate on a regular basis, you then have to figure out if people can critically think well enough to work that out. But I think we have forces in the world now which injure critical thinking directly. I've commented on a few of those in readouts past. One of them, which at first seems a little disconnected, is the idea of forcing preferred pronouns. You say you are so-and-so, so I have to call you that. The problem with the general idea of doing that is you make people follow you. As I said in readout 004, that doesn't actually create acceptance, belief, or understanding. It creates parroting or something similar to it, doing it because you have to, not because you want to, or even understand why you have to. But when you make people do something or say something or even think something because they have to, that is the exact antithesis of critical thinking. And it impairs the notion that you should keep trying to do it. So, if we have a shortage of accurate information and we have a shortage of critical thinking, popular becomes whimsical. And if Mastodon is run by popular, then Mastodon itself can become whimsical. Now, there is a fair amount of speculation in there, but I think this is, if you have educated guesses, this is educated speculation, I would say. It seems to me, in summary of all this so far, that Mastodon is, or is far likelier to be, governed in its content by popular opinion than a federally controlled system which directly tries to allow all viewpoints. Now, of course, all the people that are not wanting to hear what I'm saying are going to say, Twitter isn't doing that, or can you prove that Twitter is doing that? Well, obviously, Elon Musk is saying he wants to have accurate information and free speech. The people that don't like what he has to say or what he promotes are going to disagree with whether he's promoting that. But I think one of the signs of a free society, and in particular a society willing to debate, is the presence of opposing views. We're going to have people that disagree. And as I've said in previous readouts, namely the one concerning the nature of peace, I believe that was 002, that is something we need to allow in the sense that we both need to manage to survive people not agreeing with us, And in some cases, we need to allow people who don't agree with us to have their space, and maybe us to have our space. That's a topic I covered back in that readout more than I want to cover here for the short length of it. But if you allow that Elon Musk is trying to promote viewpoints that were suppressed and not suppressing other viewpoints, which is, of course, a key factor. If he's suppressing other viewpoints, that might be an issue. But I haven't seen any evidence of that yet. If he's promoting viewpoints that were suppressed without suppressing other ones, I would say that's evidence that he is supporting free speech and open discussion and all viewpoints, which at the very least raises the amount of available information. Now, I can't guarantee, nor can anyone, that all information on any given platform is accurate. And furthermore, trying to do so becomes its own problem, I would say, because it's going to become subjective at some point. And this gets into where I included the nature of mankind in the name of this title. So far, I've covered Twitter versus Mastodon, locuses of control, which is what I use to compare Twitter and Mastodon. Now, the mankind issue starts coming in here, because if you assume the normal way people behave is going to run things in a popular space, as I already said, you're not going to have an ideal exchange. People won't always be nice. You're not going to have an ideal learning environment. People won't always learn what they should. And you're not going to have perfect information. People won't have perfect memories. They won't have perfect information to start with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of like I say often enough, communism only worked on paper. It is an ideal system where there's no fighting because nothing belongs to anybody, so everybody shares everything. But it doesn't work because human nature is very obstinately interested in personal property and having personal assets. But that's another subject entirely, of course. But we have this continuous problem that people aren't going to be perfect. And so when you design a system for mass communication, I think you have to have some way of taking that into account. Going way back to the beginning of this discussion, I started by comparing this to the United States. It isn't perfect because, again, the United States has only 50 states, and it's harder to make one than it is to make a Mastodon instance. But we have checks and balances, and they work the other way from what I've already said. First, I said they work to permit people to have their own spaces, etc. But they also work to cohese, to make up a word, them into one federal structure. I don't think Mastodon has the last of those two. I think it has quite a free enterprise nature of people creating their own spaces at will. I actually considered creating one myself at one point. Never did it. Whereas Twitter is the other extreme. It is kind of centralized. But in the current scape, where we have mass power applied to media, social and mass media, disseminating information that kind of meets certain criteria, and I use that word with emphasis, that someone had to establish as to whether it's accurate or not. In that environment, I think an attitude promoting free speech, openness, multiple viewpoints is going to create a better discussion platform than any system that is completely or so completely, as I believe to be the case of Mastodon, based on popular opinion, popular vote, popular decision, and with such ease that people can create their islands and control them. That's an opinion. Of course, I'm sending it to a place that has control, being Twitter, and in a way that doesn't. I'm probably going to post this on the web so people can create their own responses to it. And that's the way it should be. But that's what I think. So summary. I think Twitter is more centrally controlled, which, though often not as good, is better in this case, because of the nature of control we have in the alternative that we've been discussing, namely Mastodon. Now, there are some other choices out there. I haven't reviewed everything besides Twitter and Mastodon. I know there are several others with their own reputations and structures. But these seem to be the two big ones so far. My point of making this readout is largely to let people know why I stayed on Twitter, because I believe it's going to be a better place to talk eventually. There are some other reasons that are more technical. I don't have to go in here because they're a different subject and more of a technical one about how people can get to information. But I did it for that reason, and also because I want people to think carefully about what they're espousing and moving to Mastodon if they're doing it for a reason other than clients. And the clients seem to be coming back, so maybe that reason is going away, which is finally the last reason I'm posting this now, because I figure people might actually be able to reconsider going on to Twitter. It may not be as comfortable because you're going to run into people that don't agree. But I think the so-called concept of echo chambers is going to be bigger in the alternative than it is here. Some would argue it was a bad case of echo chamber when things were under more strict control, what was being posted or and being allowed to stay. I happen to be one of those people, but I'm being careful in saying it because I don't think everybody can see why yet. Right now, the information that I was finding in various places is beginning to come to light, but it's going to take a while for people to see a lot of stuff I was seeing. So I think that it is important to consider when you're deciding where to park for information exchange, not only how many people will hear you, but how many people, and in particular, how many views you will hear.